This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So I'm 5'4", and my spice cabinet was like that first upper cabinet in your kitchen,
right,
you know.
Ours is too, actually, yeah.
That's about eye level. And I'm standing on my tiptoes, and I'm reaching back, and I had one of those tiered things that, you know, you put one, it stretched across the back of the cabinet, and you have one level, the two levels, and then three levels.
Right.
Well, of course, the thing that I need, the spice that I need, is on the third level, back of the back, and everything's stacked in front of it. And I'm on my tippy toes trying to pull up and maybe, you know, prop one knee up on the counter and trying to get up there. And then when I finally get it and pull it down,
they
fall down, and it's just a big mess, just a big unorganized mess. And you lose that, you know, nutmeg that you bought last year around the holidays, and you need it again for the holiday. So instead of looking for it or you can't find it, you go to the store and you end up having two.
Two, so, and end up with six.
Yes.
Point, right? Yeah. We have the same problem.
Cinnamon.
My wife cooks a lot. There's spices everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're not even tight. You don't realize. And then they drop and then they pop open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everywhere.
So it was just a big mess. And I thought, you know, there has to be a better way. So like the business model that we do, we kind of look out there and see if there's something that functions, but it could be perfected. And
like,
and
that's so, your process is what you're saying.
Right. That's okay. Our process.
Good.
So you go and see, number one, if there's a place for it in the market.
Right.
Obviously everybody uses spices. So we figured that's a large target market.
Right.
Then we go and we find things that we think will work. So bring them home, use them, dissect them, figure out what's good about them, what's bad. And,
right.
And then it would be, and then sit around and discuss. It would be nice if these were modular, if you could sit them side by side. So you could have one, two, three units that work together. It would be nice if it was, you know, two tiered and it, you know, added another layer of vertical storage in your kitchen cabinet.
Right.
You know, it'd be nice if they'd pull out. We like the fact that this pulls out, but yeah, what if it rotated around, giving you access and presenting your spices to you. So, and that's how the Cabinet Caddy was born.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, my name is Sherry Hammond, and I'm a single mom, an inventor, entrepreneur, and I love developing products for the home.
Sherry, thanks for coming on the Accidental Entrepreneur, the podcast. Okay, so we're talking today because Andrea Pass, who's your PR person and a good friend of mine, introduced us because she represents you. And she said that you are this fantastic inventor. And then she showed me all the products that you've made. And I'm like, well, you've got to come on the podcast because we don't haven't had any. Actually, the only inventors I've had are you and another guy, Ron, who is also represented by Andrea. I hope to have more inventors, but I'm, you know, I love that kind of stuff. Like the idea of not just starting a business, but like you see something that's either bothering you or, you know, you're like, we can make this better. Like the, cause there, you have to have a, we were talking about this before, like a certain mindset in terms of an inventor. Cause some people just look at things and they're just annoyed and frustrated, but you don't look at it that way, right? You look at things, you're like, well, we're going to solve that problem. We're going to make it easier.
Right. And a lot of times inventors, they're like, oh, you've got this brand new thing that came from scratch and it's this whole new concept or idea.
Right.
That's not necessarily the case. It's usually you have a problem and you go and you find something that's supposed to solve that problem and it's inefficient.
Yeah.
It stinks. It's right. Cheap. It's so you actually, you know, to build a better mousetrap.
Right.
I mean, a little cliche.
Probably that, right? You're improving an idea. There's very few like completely unique ideas out there. We've lived on Earth for a long time, but
right.
There is a lot of stuff though, that's not very well thought out or was just done to make some quick money and they didn't put the time into it. Cause one of the inventions we're going to talk about is just that. And I own one of the cheap sides of them and doesn't work very well in this stuff. But why don't we go back a little bit so we can learn about your history a little bit. Where you grew up, are you from Texas, and you know how you kind of developed into being an inventor? Like, how did that come about one day? You know, you're mopping the floor and you're like, oh, we got to fix this. I don't know. So I want to hear the whole story. So why don't you go back? Where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Austin. Okay. And my father was an IBM engineer.
Okay.
Transplant from Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
And
there's still a big IBM plant down there?
Yes, there is. But it's moved more towards the computer. When he was part of IBM, it was more of a mechanical engineer.
Right.
The printers, copiers, envelope folders.
Right. Yeah, people don't know. Sealers. International business machines. They had, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. There were no computers when IBM started. Okay. So engineering is a good background, by the way, for inventing. So you're already in the right family, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the hobbies that my dad used to do was woodworking. So okay. The first family business that my dad and my mom started was a woodworking business, and they would make LP holders.
Wow.
Really, really, really dating myself here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You going to tell everybody what an LP is?
Record, like yeah. The old timey records.
Right.
Make LP holders. And then of course CDs came on, and then we would make these compact disc holders out of wood that were just basically little wooden crates that stacked on top of each other.
Right. I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had some other artsy, craftsy, like little lollipop trees and personalized wooden calendars and magnets. I would paint the magnets and my mom would personalize the calendars. And so we had this business in the mall called Hunt's Woodcrafts, which okay. my main name is Hunt.
Okay.
And this was in the 80s. And then IBM started to kind of change from the mechanical to the computer.
Right.
Side of things. And so they asked my dad if he wanted to take early retirement. So he took early retirement, and compact discs were a big...
That was the thing, right?
Music, it was the big thing, yes.
It was like downloads nowadays. Yeah.
Right. And they came in these clunky jewel cases that cracked and broke, and
they still do.
They were hard to move around, and they're heavy. And so he got with me because I owned CDs. I was a teenager at the time. Right. And we started to develop this compact disc holder, which ended up being like a Rolodex for your discs. It would dial up the one you want. You lift the lid and it would present it to you.
So that was kind of this would come out of the jewel case and would go into this thing.
Right. And you throw your jewel cases away.
Okay. So it was not just wood. It was mechanical.
Yes.
Yeah,
this was the first injection molded plastic product.
Right.
That we ever made. And that was actually my first patent.
Wow.
It was my dad's like 148th.
Yeah. But did you learn how to like file the patent and the whole process with your dad when that happened?
He didn't really expose me to that process. I wish he would have, but I didn't appreciate it as much as I do today.
I'm sure.
But yeah, that was my first patent and I was 16, 17 years old.
You know, it's funny. The only other woodworker that I can remember in my life that I've known, my wife and I lived in Columbus, Ohio a couple of years, the guy across the street, Ron and Marcia. Ron was an engineer. He worked for one of the big engineering companies in Columbus. And he was also a woodworker, a lathe. I mean, he had a whole shop. This guy rebuilt his entire house like by hand. He needed to side his house, did it himself. He wanted, you know, new molding in the house. So he literally made dental molding like one cube at a time. The guy could do absolutely anything, especially out of wood. He was just very talented. And a lot of it had to do with his engineering background. It's just I tell my kids, it's a good background. It really is.
And my dad's name is Ron.
Oh, that's funny. The other Ron passed away, unfortunately, but he was very, very handy. Like he built a pond in his backyard. They want to have ponds with what are the flowers that bloom at night or come out of the water? I don't know, whatever it was. They did a whole koi pond. I mean, the guy could do anything. It was crazy. He helped me build our patio and stuff. I'm like, I'm going to get a guy to build our patio. He goes, no, you're not. I'm going to build it with you. I'm like, well, I don't know anything. Don't worry about it. Next day, all these things arrived at the house, like with the bricks, you know, and the sand and I don't know, whatever. Had to go underneath and in some big machine that was, you know what a sod cutter is?
No.
It's a machine that literally like cuts your lawn and turns it into sod.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So he's like, go ahead. So he makes me use this machine and it drags me all over the yard. Like it was very hard to operate, but the patio is still there. It's been, my wife and I went back to Columbus 20, 30 years later. It's still there. It's crazy. So, but yeah, so there's Ron, the inventor, and your dad's name's Ron. And he was an inventor. I mean, that's really what he was, right?
Yes. And he has a koi pond.
He does too.
He does.
That is very funny.
Yep.
Okay. So, so that's interesting. So, because compact discs, they never solved that problem. They're still in jewel cases that still break. Yeah. That's pretty funny, but whatever.
Well, that product did really, really well. We did well at the CES show, QVC.
You went to QVC?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So we were already introduced to that world at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember that well. It was my birthday. Okay. And I was working in the office and I got this call from my mom and I was like, oh, she's going to wish me happy birthday. And I got on the phone and she said, how did we do on QVC this morning?
Right. I'm like, mom, it's my birthday. That's so
I told
funny.
Her,
is QVC down in your area? Is that why you like you were able to go there or no? It was somewhere else.
No, QVC is in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Okay. So did you have to go to QVC or you just sent them the product and they sold it?
They sold it at the time. I think I was an office manager, you know, just kind of working on different things and in the office and keeping it running. But started working and doing graphic design about that time as well. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, she called and I told her, I said, yeah, we're doing great. And
yeah, it did
she
well.
She was like, okay, well, call me back if anything changes. And I said, okay.
You're like, it's still my birthday. So how well did it do? Did it sell? You just sold out? It was popular?
We did. It sold completely out. Nice. I think it ended up being like, I don't know. Don't quote me.
You're quoting yourself.
I know. I'm quoting myself. I'm not going to give you numbers, but it did really, really well.
It did really well. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I want to be
fact-checked. So you're already in that world. You're like setting yourself up for this whole thing that you're doing now, really. Right?
Yeah. We actually, the Cabinet Caddy that we're going to talk about later is launching on QVC next Sunday.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Okay, so the Cabinet Caddy is the spice device. That came after the Go Hang It.
No, the opposite.
Oh, no? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, well, you'll tell me the history of it. But did you invent other things before this?
Before, so what happened is Disc Gear kind of, back to the compact disc,
yeah.
The product lifecycle kind of came and then all of a sudden Apple comes up with this MP3
right.
And then the iPods. Product life. Yeah. Yeah. And then the product life cycle, you know, took a deep dive.
People weren't buying CDs so much. Yeah.
Right. So, my dad ended up selling that company and there's another product called Perfect Pets, which is lifelike breathing puppies and kittens. It's a little, yeah, it's very interesting that I wasn't on a patent
like
for that one, but
puppies.
No, it's just a little sleeping puppy in a bed and it's got artificial fur. And my dad designed a bladder that makes the abdomen of the pet go up and down with a battery, like it's breathing. So it's the perfect pet. All it does is sleep.
Nice. The novelty.
It is. And it did well in toy stores, and it's still doing well. He sold that
out there.
Mm-hmm, he sold that company as well.
Okay.
And then, you know, we kind of did our own thing. He ended up taking his kind of retirement. My mom's health started failing, and so he was kind of focused on her. And I ended up going and doing like a freelance graphic design business, and with the skills that I had learned along the way.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, we just had this idea. He was kind of getting bored, and let's just go back to our roots and start developing big products
right
again. And so that's how the cabinet caddy came about.
Okay. Oh, and how long ago was that?
So in the end of 2017 is when we started developing the cabinet caddy, and we received it into inventory the end of 2018. So it took us a full year. You know, this isn't the first time that we've done this, so it's right. Actually a pretty accelerated cycle.
Yeah, that seems
between
short.
Design, prototype, we already had the manufacturer, same manufacturer we used for the compact disc storage unit. We called them up, and they were happy to work with us again.
Right.
And then...
But the disc storage unit was a long time ago. It was in mm-hmm. the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. Luckily, they were still in business.
Yeah.
This company. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Do you
remember us? We, you know, did they remember you, or did they have to like look it up?
Oh, absolutely. They became, you know, part of the family. We knew their kids.
Oh, nice.
You know, and they loved my mom, and everybody loved my mom. But
nice. So, yeah. Okay. So that was 2017. So we're only talking a couple of like 3 years ago, really.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But and you guys knew how to take it. So you got it all through the process, and then you had, but that in a year, you literally had a packaged product ready to go on a shelf.
Correct. You know, I mentioned that I was a graphic designer, so I did a lot of packaging and all that kind of stuff. So I did the packaging, the instructions, all the includes, photography, and all that kind of stuff. We got it packaged and ready to go. And, you know, I put a second mortgage on my home. My dad invested some money, and then we went out and got the molds made and bought a container. And that's kind of how we started.
All right, so let's talk about the product. Like, what?
Okay.
Tell us what it is, because I know what it is, but nobody else does, and you know how it came about. Like, where, you know.
So I'm 5'4", and my spice cabinet was like that first upper cabinet in your kitchen.
Right.
You know,
and ours is too, actually. Yeah.
That's about eye level, and I'm standing on my tiptoes, and I'm reaching back, and I had one of those tiered things that you know you put one. It's stretched across the back of the cabinet, and you have one level, then two levels, and then three levels.
Right.
Well, of course, the thing that I need, the spice that I need, is on the third level, back in the back, and everything's stacked in front of it. And I'm on my tippy toes trying to pull up and maybe, you know, prop one knee up on the counter and trying to get up there. And then when I finally get it and pull it down, they fall down, and it's just a big mess, just a big unorganized mess. And you lose that, you know, nutmeg that you bought last year around the holidays, and you need it again for the holiday. So instead of looking for it or you can't find it, you go to the store and you end up having two.
Two, so, and end up with six.
Yes.
Point, right? Yeah. We have the same problem.
Cinnamon.
My wife cooks a lot. There's spices everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're not even tight. You don't realize. And then they drop and then they pop open and it's everywhere.
So it was just a big mess. And I thought, you know, there has to be a better way. So like the business model that we do, we kind of look out there and see if there's something that functions, but it could be perfected. And
like,
and
that's so, your process is what you're saying.
Right. That's okay. Our process.
Good.
So you go and see, number one, if there's a place for it in the market.
Right.
Obviously everybody uses spices. So we figured that's a large target market.
Right.
Then we go and we find things that we think will work. So bring them home, use them, dissect them, figure out what's good about them, what's bad. And and then it would be, and then sit around and discuss. It would be nice if these were modular, if you could sit them side by side. So you could have one, two, three units that work together. It would be nice if it was, you know, two tiered and it you know, added another layer of vertical storage in your kitchen cabinet.
Right.
You know, it'd be nice if they'd pull out. We like the fact that this pulls out. But yeah, what if it rotated around, giving you access and presenting your spices to you? So, and that's how the cabinet caddy was born. It's designed. What's unique about it is it's not boxy. It has these nice radiuses on it so that as it rotates around, it never turns outside of itself. And so you can, that means that you can set units side by side.
Like it pivots once you pull it out. So it right. doesn't, yeah.
You pull all the way out and then rotate it around and it presents that two-tiered shelf of spices or prescriptions or crafts.
Right. It doesn't have to be spices. It's a plastic unit that you could put bottles in that fit.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, the medicine cabinets aren't that deep, but you can do them in other cabinets.
Right. And I'm glad you said plastic because one of the things is a lot of kitchen appliances are made out of polystyrene. It's cheap. It squeaks. It's that plastic that you can move in it, you know,
right.
and it's real brittle and lightweight. So it's good for shipping. It's good, you know, because it's lightweight, but a lot of times things get, they're just poorly made.
Right.
And so given the background and the products that we had used before, we had always used ABS, which is a BPA-free plastic. And
it's all important for health reasons, right?
Right. And it's storing your food items.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And then it also is very, very durable. It is hard to break. It's very hard to break. So we wanted something that was durable and would last.
Right. Yeah, so customers are satisfied. You don't get returns as a result of it. They tell you get good PR and other people buy it. There's plenty of people on earth to sell to. Right?
Yes.
Doesn't have to. But, you know, I want to go back for a second because I think it's interesting what you said. I've dealt with people who have come up with products and done different things. And I don't think that they do the right thing when it comes to the process. And the first thing you mentioned was, which I think people skip this step, is there a market for your product? Now, you were dealing with spices and whatever, so obviously there's a market, right, because of spices, but there could be something else out there. And I think that there's a lot of people who skip that step because they're so enthusiastic and excited about this idea, which they're sure is the greatest thing, and they're going to make $1 million, and they're going to be on Shark Tank and all this type of stuff. And they develop the product, and they're at their friend's house showing them to them, and they go, oh, I just saw this online on Amazon. What are you talking about? And they're like, what? So I think that, you know, you can't do it backwards because you can end up spending a lot of money, and you guys probably don't spend as much money because you are experienced at this. But, you know, it's real easy to do prototypes with whatever country you're dealing with, spend $20,000 or $30,000 and be nowhere, and then find out that there's no market for whatever it is you just developed. And I think that that's really important that inventors know and entrepreneurs know that you got to do the work. You don't be so married to your idea. If you find out that it's out there or that it's too difficult to make or too expensive, don't, you know, give it up. You'll find another invention, right?
Absolutely. You have to get on the internet and you have to get out in stores and you have to look and see what's available. It's okay if there's a product out there that does what yours does. You just need to make sure that you do it better.
Right. And you had said that before. Very often it's just a way to improve something out there that just doesn't do the job. It does the job better than whatever your problem is, but you're like, this is not good. We can do this better. And I think that that's the more successful entrepreneurs and inventors. That's the process they seem to use.
Right. Well, very few times are you the pioneer of a of a way to do something.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I know. People think they're brilliant. They thought of this great idea. I'm like, probably somebody's thought of it. And you better hope they have, because it's not good. You know, it's real challenging to go into a marketplace as the first entrant and trying to convince people that this is a great thing to do and nobody else is doing. It's better to have some competition and do it better than whoever it is that knocked something off and didn't give it a lot of attention. Like, I see a lot of that. You know, people do some cheap product and they never really do anything with it. And you find it hanging on a wall somewhere and you're like, well, this stinks. We could do this much better. And you know, you already know there's a marketplace for it. That makes it easier for people, I think.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So the what's the device called? The cabinet device?
Cabinet caddy?
Yeah, a cabinet caddy. Okay, I should remember that. I got Go Hang It in my head. So that device you sold, but you said it's coming out on QVC on Sunday because you have a new version of it, or?
No, it's the version that's been out there. You know, it takes inventing something for us is actually easier than taking it to market. That's a whole nother ball game.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable, and most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
It's hard to have to be a new company that has one product,
right,
and two colors.
Yeah.
And get into stores. We are not in any brick and mortars.
Yeah, because they don't. So you've been selling online for this whole time.
Correct. We're on Amazon, the Grommet, and our own website.
Yeah. And sometimes retail is not the most profitable anyway, but their shelf space is valuable to them. They don't give it up to anybody, right?
It is. And they don't want to onboard. The onboarding process takes forever.
It's a nightmare, right?
Right. And they don't want to onboard one SKU.
Yeah. And then find out you went out of business 3 weeks later because you're just doing something else.
Or you can't get inventory, or, you know, they want you to be a little bit more established in the product out in the marketplace. They want it to be seen on TV and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever think of going on like Shark Tank or something? I'm not suggesting that's a good thing. I'm just saying, you ever thought about it? I'm sure every one of your friends like, you should go on Shark Tank. You got to go on, right?
I hear that a lot. I listen to my gut a lot, right, and my gut tells me no.
Yeah.
My gut just, I don't know. I just feel... I'm kind of an introvert a little bit, and the idea of going out there and bearing my soul for sharks to tear me apart is not appealing to me.
I hear a lot of stories that behind the scenes, it's not all cut out. You know, they change the deals. They want more this, more that. It's great exposure, right? The whole world sees your product. You're probably better off going on Shark Tank, getting exposure, and not getting a deal. That's probably the best result you could get, right? Because then you go, you leave, nobody owns your company, and you just got all the free PR in the world that you want, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the whole premise of it doesn't set itself up to be a trustworthy experience for me.
Right. Yeah, no, I can understand that. Yeah. So, but everybody else is like, oh my God, my friend Shari, she's an inventor. You should go on Shark Tank. And that's
I bet you when I go to trade shows, I bet you I hear it about 20 times a day.
Right. Yeah, you watch Shark Tank, you think it's great. I'm going to be an inventor. This is the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to make billions of dollars because it happens to everybody. And, you know, I don't know. But, okay, so let's talk about your other product, because your other product I love and I bought it. And I think it's because it's one thing that I have trouble with all the time, and that's hanging things straight. So I'm always developing little ways to rig things up, you know, to get them on the wall without making too many marks. Like those floating shelves, you know, those ones with the thing, the keyholes on the back?
Yes, those are hard to hang.
Yeah, but they're a lot easier with your device.
Absolutely.
So I used to take like a ruler and a template, and I'd rub the back to make it match, and then I'd turn it over, and then I'd level it out. Still wouldn't be perfect.
You know, I actually talked to somebody 2 days ago that told me that they used mustard to put on the back of the frame
to make a mark, like
to make a mark on the wall, to stain the wall.
Really funny. Yeah, well, you got to be creative about it, right?
He was onto something.
Well, you'd think that all these companies that sell these stupid shelves would like give you suggestions about how to hang these things, or maybe there should be a postcard in there with a 10% discount for every device they buy from you. I don't know. But they're the nicest looking things, but they're a pain in the ass to put on the wall.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So what was the genesis of something like this? You had trouble with something in it, right?
Well, I mentioned before I'm a single mom, and my son plays lacrosse and basketball, and I have a lot of his awards and pictures and team photos, and I wanted to make this collage on my wall. Okay. And it was the biggest pain in the rear. By the time I got it done, I bet you I had rehung one of the pictures 3 times, you know, just pulling it off and right. moving the nail, you know, yeah. just a skosh, you know, to the left or up. And if you were to take that collage off my wall right now, there's probably 35 holes.
Right. It's all covered right now, so you don't want to take it off ever.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, but if
and
you,
by the
you
way,
know,
the closer the holes get, the more you can't fix it.
Right. Because,
yeah. So you only have many chances to do it right.
You got to bust out the drywall patches. And,
yeah.
and all that.
Let it dry and paint it and then, yeah, that's nuts.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I knew there had to be another way, you know, so I approached my father, and again, we went through that process. We went out and looked at the things that were there, bought them all, used them, thought, gosh.
Right, there are some things out there. We were talking about that off the mic. There are some products out there that help you hang things. They just don't do it very well. Okay.
Well, and one of the things that you want a product to be is intuitive, right? You want it to make sense whenever, right. you know, you don't want somebody to have to look at it and go, now, how does it do that? Or, right. or you have the product, like one of the other hanging tools, I think I had it in my possession maybe 2 months and then I realized it did something else.
Oh, really?
And I was like, how did
I
had no
is.
Idea. Yeah. yeah. Oh, that's what that is.
Explain it well.
Right. Right. Right.
That's common with products where people, they don't, well, you can't expect people to think exactly like you. So it's got to be intuitive from, in a general sense, right? Or they're going to look at it and be like, well, I don't know what this is. It's like a device. I write on it. People are like, no, that's a telephone. Mm-hmm. So we get used to using things certain ways. I think that's one of the problems. But you got to explain them well. You probably have good instructions in yours.
Well, again, you know, I've got a graphic design background and I've got a good team and we get together and really just go through the steps. This is what I do. You write it down. These are the steps. You just start with an instruction sheet. Instruction sheets are such a pain in the rear to make, but,
right. yeah.
but you know, you have to do it and you have to be as detailed as possible and then go, you know, whittle it down from there. What is important?
Yeah, definitely. I think people don't realize that it's easy to explain things to people. It's very hard to put it in writing. It really
Correct.
Is because you have to be very methodical, step by step, explain everything you're doing. And writing things, that's an art. I mean, people write instruction manuals and some of them aren't very good, even though they're very long. You still don't understand half of them.
Right. So one of the things with Go Hang It is the other products out there, they would be for hanging wire pictures or okay. it would be for hanging sawtooth pictures, or it would just be these little, you know, there's individual little sawtooths out there that
right.
that are different. And
yeah, and you hammer them on the thing, you crack yeah. your frame, and then you're really screwed.
And then you have to pop part of it off, pop the point indicator thing off with a screwdriver, and then it can never be reused again. It's
right.
it's cached. So if you didn't get it in the right place or you happen to break it or whatever, you have to get another one, make another trip back to the store. Do you have a level? Do you not have a level? You know, do you have all the hardware? How many times do you look on the back of your hardware and go, what if the tool that you just spent, you know, $35 on doesn't work with the hardware that's on the back of the frame?
Right.
So we've got this on our product. We've got a carry case that mounts to the back of it or like connects to the back of it, hangs in a very awesome way. And it has 85 pieces of picture hanging hardware. So if you happen to get one of those frames that just won't work with our device, you can replace the hardware or add additionally, you know, some of the hardware that we know works.
Right.
Right.
So some of the devices worked okay on certain kinds of pictures, mm-hmm. but yours really does everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you've created, you know, if you've made a painting and it's just a canvas on a frame, you can add the hardware and hang it up.
Do it yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the hardest ones is when you have those, when you have those loops on the left and right side of the picture and it's relatively large and there's no wire. You got to put two marks on the wall. Mm-hmm. Those are a nightmare. But you came up with a device of that's magnetic, right? That
correct
sticks in there and you can literally level the whole thing out, push it on the wall, it makes a mark and they're perfect.
So the D hooks that you're talking about are the D rings that, yeah, that mount to the mirrors, often have them, or mirrors, the larger right pieces.
Yeah.
You know, we include our own in the hardware case. We do also include wire. So if you wanted to string wire through it, you can.
Right, but some of the very large pictures, wires won't work, right? It's too right heavy.
They won't.
Right.
So what we recommend is that you make sure that those are mounted nice and tight. Sometimes they tend to spin and all that kind of stuff. And if they do spin, you know, I recommend taking a little piece of tape just temporarily and holding it still. So you can put that little magnetic key, we call it a magnet key,
right,
magnetic key underneath it, and it'll stay there. So when you hold it up to the wall, it has these little positioning points on it, and you push to mark your nail holes, and it just leaves this little indention, and that's exactly where it needs to go. So right, often when you have a frame, the hardware is not
perfectly that's a problem
level.
Yeah, it's not perfectly
or
level.
Or it's damaged and it's moved or right, or whatever. And so it's hard. This whole system identifies exactly where the nails or the screws need to be.
Right.
And by not looking at the back of the frame, I mean, you can't, you know, maneuver so that you can see exactly where it is on the wall. So
right,
our little magnet keys have these little positioning points and they stick out just enough to where you use our removable level, pop it on your frame. And it's got a flat surface, so it just sits right on top of it, and a little sticky material, tacky material, I guess, underneath, which will keep it from slipping left or right. And you hold it up on the wall, and then just push exactly where you want it to mark your nail holes.
Yeah, I've found that very common. You could measure between the hooks, mm-hmm, and then you could mark it on the wall and level it out. But then when you hang it, it's not level.
Right.
Because the hooks weren't level.
Right.
And it's just a little off. And your eye always really gets annoyed by something that's just a little off.
Right.
It bothers the heck out of you. Nobody else notices, but you do.
Well, and then sometimes left to right, up to down measuring, and then getting the what's level on the wall might not look a little bit, you know, it might look just a teeny bit off.
Right. Well, because the house might not be completely square.
Right.
Yeah.
So this
everything
is a very
in your house hung perfectly straight?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. Come to your house, it's all been hung perfectly straight.
I actually probably don't have as much on my walls as most people, which is kind of funny, but
well, you don't have to. That's not a requirement if you.
Yeah.
You made the device for a reason because you were trying to hang this thing for your son and you're like, I'm an inventor. I'm not, you know. So well, I'm definitely going to, I mean, right now we don't, but next season there'll be new stuff from college and high school. And now I don't have a problem. I don't have to be stressed out about it anymore.
Well, it's a great housewarming gift or a wedding gift for people.
Yeah.
You know, college students that move from apartment to apartment every year. I did that for years and years and years.
My son has his new apartment next year, which hopefully mm-hmm, he'll be able to spend maybe 6 months in. 12-month lease, which the new schedule that just came out. I don't know if they're doing this at UT, but so they want to keep the kids apparently out of school like during like flu season. So they get to Thanksgiving now, they're going home, they don't go back, they finish online, then they start online for another month, and then they're going back to school till like late February, early March. No spring break and come home in May.
Mm.
So, and no fall break either. So they're trying to keep the kids home, you know, when everyone gets sick for the most part.
Yeah.
But I still have to pay rent for all those months. Actually, if you think about it, it's probably going to be like 4 months in his apartment. 5 months, I got a 12-month lease.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because that's what they do in Indiana. They make you go August.
Well, it seems like Indiana would be not as heavily hit.
It wasn't, but they're still, you know, but you think, but remember, the kids come from all over. So if they're going home for Thanksgiving, they get sick, they come back for another 3 weeks or something, and everybody gets sick and break out coronavirus. It's crazy. So okay, so let's talk about where you can get the products. So it's online, right? You guys have, is it one website for the products, or they each have their own website?
So they each have their own website, which points to our company website. So if you go to cabinetcaddy.com,
right,
you'll get there. If you go to gohangit.com, you'll get there.
The same place.
Right.
Okay.
It's a forwarder, and it just goes to inspiredpdg.com, like Inspired Product Development Group.
Oh, okay. And they're not in stores yet?
They aren't
online, I think. Yeah.
Right. We are not in brick and mortar stores. You won't be able to walk into like a Bed Bath and Beyond yet and get them. But online at our websites, we are also available on Amazon and the Grommet. The Grommet just launched today, Go Hang It. The Cabinet Caddy, they launched earlier this year. And again, this is it this coming Sunday or next Sunday?
You said it was this Sunday, but maybe it's next Sunday.
Look for us on QVC on Sunday with In the Kitchen with David. So we're pretty excited. He's a great, great host, one of their favorite, most fabulous hosts. So he's going to
they do housewares and stuff?
Yeah, kitchen stuff, kitchen appliances and kitchen goods, gadgets.
All right, I'll check it out. I don't know. I got to find that online somewhere. Probably on the website, it probably says QVC, what their programming is, right?
QVC will have a great deal. The best deal that
it'll be a deal
currently
on it?
Have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll check that out. But do I get mine autographed? I want to have it autographed by the inventor.
Sure. Not the one you get from QVC. You'd have to buy it from our own website, right?
Yeah, to go to their warehouse. Do you have anything else that's like in the works, ideas you're working on or something without giving too much away?
Of course. We are working on, we've listened to customer feedback and on the Cabinet Caddy, and we are working on a Cabinet Caddy Gen 2.
Okay.
That's hopefully going to be out next year, maybe.
Okay. What were the suggestions?
So one of the feedback, the most common feedback was that, you know, the Cabinet Caddy is really designed to hold your smaller spices and the smaller things that kind of get hidden, right? Your big Costco size stuff is not going.
Yeah, people buy bigger quantities now because of Costco.
Right.
Right.
And so we would set those things to the side, kind of organized, because you don't lose those. What you lose are those little bitty McCormick, you know, teeny tiny spices.
Right.
And so we designed it to do that. But people were saying, gosh, it would be really nice if I could adjust these shelves to fit my spices.
Got it.
So that's this next generation. We'll have adjustable shelves, and it'll be a little bit wider to accommodate the larger, like the little baking powder tins and stuff.
Okay. Well, this episode is going to come out in the fall. So by then, it may be available, right?
We haven't started molding it or anything yet. So we've
just
got
in design.
Yeah, drawing wise, we're almost there. We'll probably start molding it within the next couple months. It'll take about 3 months for the molds. And then.
So it probably won't be. It'll be close to getting becoming available.
I'm
goes through it.
I'm saying Q1.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So this comes out in October, November. We'll be close. Pre-orders.
Yeah.
So do you have other things that you're working on that aren't related to those two products that are just design ideas that you're working on?
Yes.
You have to kill me if you told me so.
Yeah, there's a few things that.
Yeah. Are they in that same, like, you know, housewares?
Absolutely. We enjoy making, solving problems in the home, right?
Okay. That's
there's
good.
Always a target market for that. And,
right.
And I bet you we have probably three or four things that are
cooking
in the pipeline. Yeah.
Very nice. Do you have a mailing list? Like if somebody went to your website, could they subscribe to your mailing list and they get notifications of things that are going on and stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can just scroll down to the bottom of our webpage and you can sign up for the mailing list and you'll get a discount off your first purchase.
Nice.
As well.
Okay. And that's Inspire PDG.
Inspired.
With a D.
Mm-hmm.
PDG.
PDG.
Okay. But we'll put a link on the show notes too. So nobody's going to remember while they're driving in their car. Don't pull over and, you know, write it while you're driving. So, all right, Sherry. So I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.